All right, well, good morning, Tri-County Church.
Good morning.
So, I got to say, my wife and I, we are exceptionally excited to be here. Since I've come up here, I want to go ahead and direct you now to Luke chapter 14. This is where we're going to be hanging out today. And speaking of hanging out, while you're making your way to Luke 14, I really want to extend a great thank you to Sydney Dockery, who's been here holding down this church, leading it in a phenomenal way, you know, for all that he and Sharice have been doing. It's all right to clap for the people of God. Thank you all so much for inviting us down here. It has been an absolute treasure and a treat being here, getting to know the church. I also want to give a special thank you to the Normans, who have been exceptionally hospitable to us in our stay down here. Of course, we bring you greetings from the Greater Nashville Church. My wife and I, we've only been there for about 15 months. And so it has been amazing. And I'll say a little bit more about that. And, again, we're just excited, so excited to be here. I almost felt a little bit intimidated and nervous, to be preaching at the church of a future best-selling author that you have. Yesterday we were having a meeting, of course, and it was alluded to earlier. And as Sydney was sharing about himself, you know, he also mentioned some things about his wife, Sharice. And so he mentioned that she's a prior Army vet. But what I initially heard, and maybe it was just because of the wax in my ears, I thought he said she was a prayer Army vet. But I'm gonna go with the prayer Army vet that Sharice is, and who she is for this church, and just seeing the progress in her life from the last time I saw, I can tell that she is a woman who prays and who relies on the strength of God. Thank you so much once again. And there was something else mentioned in a meeting while the women were gathering. And everyone was going around the table and introducing themselves. And, they were like, hey, just share a little bit about yourself. And of course, everybody there was from the state of Mississippi, nearly, or at least have had, some elongated time here. And so by the time it got to me, I said, I have a very rich history here with Mississippi. I said, my rich history is because I'm having a rich history right now. This is my first time in Mississippi. And so, in particular, Jackson, Mississippi. Now, we have gone to Biloxi before and we've hung out there, but this is like the heart of Mississippi.
That's right.
It's just been really, really great. So that's my rich history here with Mississippi, and it is an unforgettable time for us already.
Amen.
Hence, that's the title for the message today. Unforgettable. Unforgettable. Now, I want to share a little bit with you about my personality. I love banter. I know I can get some heckling from Donald Norman. That is his role here in the church. He is the church heckler. So you all are welcome to join in and not just give heckles, but ultimately I pray that from the message today that you are inspired and that you really see and understand something about God. I want to introduce the family before I get into the body of the message. Of course, you're meeting me now, and I know that you'll like me because you met my wife first. That's a great thing. But our two kids are Jordan and Sydney Brown. Jordan is most affectionately known around our fellowship of churches as JK. He is nearly at every campus event. Near and far, in the region and out of the region, and soon to be internationally. He's going to participate in the chance of a lifetime just to see what God may be speaking to him about future in ministry. And so be praying for him. He'll be leaving this, in a couple of months, right at the top of the summer. to Philadelphia and then for some time in Boston and then abroad. Our daughter, Sydney, will be 22 in just a couple, in about a month now. And she will be graduating from Savannah College of Art and Design. She's a screenwriting major. And so she has done exceptional work. We are so proud of her. And man, her faith journey has been inspiring and amazing. And just can't wait to see what God does. And again, this is a time where things that are unforgettable are occurring and happening in our lives. And I don't believe it's just restricted to Robin and I, but indeed something happening in an unforgettable fashion is occurring in the life of everyone who wants to pursue God.
That's right.
Whether you are a disciple or you're seeking or you're wondering about becoming a disciple, you're wondering about what it means to have a relationship with God, a real relationship with God, not just going to church, but really understanding what it means to be engaged with the Lord. This is an opportunity for being unforgettable. You know, when I think about something being unforgettable, it is being open to what may not be normal.
Yeah.
Amen. If it's going to be unforgettable, it's not going to be normal.
That's right.
It may not necessarily initially be ideal, you know, in your mental framework.
Yeah.
I also think about something being unforgettable in regards to it is about the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And understand, and I'll share this a little bit later, that the Holy Spirit is not even just restricted to the people of God. The Holy Spirit has done things in the presence of those who have not believed in order that they may come to believe.
Amen.
Because God is always constantly wooing people.
Yes, he is.
And Luke, I asked you to go to Luke chapter 14, didn't I?
Yes.
I told you a story. It's Luke chapter 4.
Oh.
So just flip back a few pages. Or your white out. You know, or I don't know, scroll backwards, if you will, on your digital devices. At Luke chapter 4 and verse 14, verses 14 through 21, and we'll be hanging out here. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to read that again. It's a very powerful statement. So Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news spread about him through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor."
Amen.
Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And I like to read those final words from Jesus at this point again. "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And for me, absolutely, that is a powerful passage. It is the perfect passage for me to draw on, like, what does it mean to be moved by the Spirit? Because it says that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Think about what it means to, like, not to just go to work, but what if you went to work in the power of the Spirit? Or you went to school, or you went to campus in the power of the Spirit. You went into Target in the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
You went to your favorite buffalo wing spot in the power of the Spirit. You've been there before, but this time you're going in the power of the Spirit.
All right, tell us about it.
You're going to that community meeting in the power of the Spirit. I just wanted to share a couple of things really quickly. I was supposed to share these scriptures with you on the screen, but amen. I wanted to share with you about, number one, being open to the unexpected.
Amen.
Right.
To have an experience that is unforgettable, I want to inspire you to be open to the unexpected.
Come on.
I love unexpected things. I love surprises. Now we don't like it when our car battery drains. We don't like that. That's unexpected. We don't like it when we get flat tires. We don't like that. We don't like when the water heater breaks down in the house. That's unexpected. We don't like that.
No, we don't.
But there is something awesome about being open to the unexpected. Because this is what I've come to know and understand personally, that although I love God, right? And because I love God and I have a passion to engage in the plan of God, I don't always know his mind.
No.
The Bible says that, man. Who knows the mind of God? So I have to be prepared for the unexpected, because quite often his design and his execution doesn't align with the way I want to go about doing things.
Come on.
Even when my thinking has godly intent.
Yeah.
Even when you want to do something and you think it's godly, you think it's spiritual, and God goes, yeah, it is spiritual. I know you're thinking about me, but this is not the way I want it done.
Right.
Being open to the unexpected. The next thing is being open to being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Come on.
Be open to being uncomfortable. Why do I mention this? Because being uncomfortable has a direct relation to newness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It has a direct relation to doing something that is new, doing something that is different. When Jesus came on the scene, he did something that was completely new. It was different. God is about newness. I love it when God from Isaiah, when God says, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? That is one of my favorite scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's about being uncomfortable. We have to be open to being uncomfortable. You know, Jesus continually broke the rules when he came down.
Yeah.
He broke all of the formulas. And then likewise, when he ascended into heaven and he says, I'm leaving with you the Holy Spirit. I'm leaving with you my spirit, God's spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you. He continues to do the same thing that God affirms in terms of newness. The Holy Spirit continues to do the same thing that Jesus emulated, because it's his spirit. So it's always about doing something new and experiencing something new. And one thing about the Holy Spirit that scares us the most is that we can't control the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad we can't control the Holy Spirit. If we could control the Holy Spirit would be as boring as all get out.
Yeah.
Buddy. Oh, my gosh.
If we could control the Spirit. But we can't do it. And that is the very thing that makes us afraid sometimes. But if we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, that's something altogether different, because we're going with the wind. Right? You know, the Spirit, in Hebrew is ruah, which means wind. Man, think about the wind. Man, we can't control wind. There are a lot of things that we would not experience if we could control wind. The best we could do is put up markers to tell which way it's blowing. That's the best we could do. The best we can do is come up with instrumentation to determine how fast the wind is moving.
That's right.
but we can't control it. The Holy Spirit, the wind of God, we can't control, but it is an incredible thing because it's about doing something new. And I want to share with you a statement that I heard someone share. It doesn't take faith to do the same old thing.
Right.
It doesn't do. It does take faith to do something new.
Yep.
It takes faith to do something new, to do something that's different. You know, I'm always on a continual hunt for things that are unforgettable, because this is where we encounter the divine move of God. That's been my experience. My experience has been that pursuing things that are unforgettable, it establishes my faith, and it ignites and it deepens my walk with God. Because this is where I've seen God bless. I've seen God bless in things that have been unforgettable, following the events that are unexpected, and following the events that are unforgettable is where God provides blessings. It's not in the same old thing. It's in the things that are unexpected that are where the blessings come. It's in the things that are uncomfortable where the blessings come. And those things create unforgettable experiences. It says that Jesus went back to his hometown. Now, I know some of you were born here and some of you not. How many people do not have your origins in Mississippi? That's the whole room. So imagine, okay, hands down. So imagine going back to your hometown. You know, my hometown is actually Augusta, Georgia. Some of you may be familiar with that if you follow golf or you have friends who are golf aficionados. It's where the Masters Tournament is held. And so I can remember doing some things in my hometown. You got to remember, Jesus wasn't an adult when he came down. He came down as a baby.
Right.
And he grew up as a child. As a man child into adulthood. So Jesus has a history there when he's going back to his own hometown. When I think about me growing back into my hometown, you know, I have a particular history there. I think about one of my next door neighbors. One of my next door neighbors, and I remember as a child in my own hometown overhearing my mother in a conversation talking about my next door neighbor. This is before my mom had a conviction about God. And she's having a conversation about her next door neighbor. And so I go in the power of young Stacy Brown. I'm not going in the power of the Spirit. I'm going in the power of the unholy Spirit to my next door neighbor, and I knock on her door, and she's a nice lady to me. She's always been nice. I've never seen her do anything crazy or say anything out of the way. But in my seven-year-old mind perhaps, I gotta go and tell, it ain't good news, but interesting news at least to me. So I knock on the door and she opens it up. And she greets me with a smile, as she always does. She says, "Hey, Stacy, how you doing today? What can I do for you?" I said, "My mama says you're nosy, and I think you are too." And I slammed the door in her face. In my hometown. I run home. And a few minutes later, my mom goes, "Did you go next door?" "Yeah." "What did you say?" The next words I heard from my mom is, "I'm telling John." That was my dad. That was trouble. That meant trouble. That was the unholy spirit. Now, I also remember being moved by God also in my same home, because there was a time when I experienced and witnessed a lot of domestic violence in the home. In particular, my father towards my mom. And that was one of the most devastating things I could see and or witness in my life. It was deep physical domestic violence. And I remember being moved, and you'll understand why. I remember being moved by the Holy Spirit as a young child, I believe probably somewhere around the age of 9 or 10. And I said, in the midst of one of those torrential, I would describe, altercations. And I said, this house is crazy. Nobody in here loves God. We don't even go to church. I don't know where that came from. We didn't go to church, so I had no reason to say any, to stand up and to raise my voice to parents whom I greatly feared. I feared out of respect, and then I also, especially my dad, because of what I saw. But what would make me stand up and yell at my parents in order to get them to stop? I still don't necessarily believe it was my voice. Some years later, that move by the Holy Spirit, I believe, planted a seed in my parents. Because some years later, and it began with my father, who was abusive. And I remember him engaging and starting to read the Bible and going to church. And what I do remember is seeing a miraculous example of repentance.
Praise God.
Because of the word of God.
Praise God.
I remember once fearing a man and being around him and not having that fear anymore. I can remember hearing yellings and rumblings and knowing that there was bad altercation going on the other side of the wall in my bedroom, to hearing a new type of rumbling. It was the prayers. Well, I would hear my dad praying with a raised voice, praying passionately for his wife, praying passionately for his kids to one day know God. Those are the types of things. And from that point on, he never laid a hand on my mom again.
Amen.
He was known and had the reputation that, as a man who used his hands to love people and to bring people in versus the violence that he enacted before. I saw that.
Amen.
That was the move of the Holy Spirit speaking through me, someone who didn't know God, to help plant a seed. I believe it was prophetic during that time. But there is something significant in this passage that Jesus wrote, that Jesus read, because it comes from Isaiah 61. And so I can imagine what the Jews, they were listening to Jesus, and he's reading this passage from the scroll. And the Jews had in their mind's eye, because this is during Roman occupation, they're in Roman rule. The Jews are under subjection, deep subjection to the Roman Empire, persecuted, mistreated. And so when he's reading this passage, they had in their mind's eye, because they've been waiting on this Messiah to come. This Messiah had been prophesied about. And so in their mind's eye, they're looking for this elite Messiah. And that this Messiah, in their mind's eye, was going to come with this war machine. And this war machine would be unleashed at this Messiah's disposal to come with great glamour, great pomp and circumstance, and start immediately wiping out the armies of the Roman Empire and immediately overthrowing the government. And that would set the Israelite nation free from oppression and from the Roman rule to which they were projected. This is why I believe it says that, you know, Luke here writes that the eyes of everybody were fastened on him, because he stopped right before the point. And if you go back and read it, you'll understand it yourself, because the Jews in his hometown, they're hanging on every word, and they're waiting for him to address the rest of the prophecy, which talks about vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part. Jesus stopped right before it mentioned vengeance. And I could imagine them really wanting to hear that. They wanted to get fired up about that vengeance part. And sometimes as people, we want to get fired up about vengeance. But what does God say about vengeance? He says, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is not, this is not for you to enact. Vengeance is mine. And so perhaps Jesus, for some who were listening, it was inspiring to them, and for perhaps for some, he fell a little bit short of their expectations, because they wanted that excuse to just go all out, to go crazy, and to enact vengeance to the people that they were coming under subjection. Now, there are some unique other circumstances in the Bible that when the Spirit has moved on people and through people and in the presence of people who are not even pursuing God. And again, I mentioned earlier that God does this so that people would at least be curious about him. God is always trying to woo people. He's always trying to go for the heart. You know, when I think about those people who are searching for God, and so we come across people who are searching for God. You know, the people who are searching for God, when I think about things that are unexpected, there are family members who are not necessarily expecting them to turn to God because of how they've seen them act in the past. There are some co-workers that are not expecting for them to seek God and to think, man, you know, God is the last thing on their mind because of how they hear them talk at work. Yet it could be the very thing that they've been wanting. I can imagine some of the women who came out to your Women's Day yesterday. There are some women that in some of their circles, somebody may not have been expecting for them to go. A Women's Day, what is that? They're not going. Surely they're not going to seek God. But something unexpected had been presented.
Amen.
And they're doing and engaging in something that is unexpected. You know, sometimes I think about four disciples. You know, some of us start out, and then some of us, we slow down. We slow down because it gets uncomfortable sometimes. But I want to encourage you to continue engaging.
Amen.
And to re-engage and to help not only fortify your spiritual journey, but even for those who are searching for God, to help bring that relationship that God desires to a completion, to a completion of their foundational spirituality that takes them to another level. You know, and I think about, just for everybody, like whether people are following God or whether people are, you know, just trying to figure God out, like just trying to even wonder or discover if God is real in their lives. You know, there's an opportunity for an unforgettable experience.
That's
and when
right.
I think about unforgettable experiences are not one-offs, right? They're not just one-time events. Unforgettable experiences are something that can be reoccurring.
That's right.
That's right.
And although they're different, and they're designed for us to continue to experience those things in an unforgettable fashion. You know, I love this thing that Jesus says right here. He says, the one who believes in me will do the things that I have been doing and will do even greater things.
Right.
You know that, don't
right.
you, from John 14. He says, the one who believes in me will do the things I've been doing and, in fact, will do greater things. I'm just saying that 2023, this is the year of the Lord's favor.
Amen.
This is the year. Here's what, man. I am so excited yesterday to hear about 10 women in a church that can have an attendance of 60 plus women.
Praise God.
For a Women's Day.
Amen.
That's unforgettable.
Hallelujah.
Everybody engaged in something that was unexpected. Everybody engaged in something that was uncomfortable. Some of y'all stayed up many times at night. You engaged in a bunch of meetings. You did a lot of extra work. Even some of the men did work. Engaged in things that were uncomfortable for the fruit of what God could produce.
Amen.
To create an unforgettable experience. You may think about yourself. Now, again, I talked about me and I talked about things, but I want to share something about you, because you could be thinking, okay, well, what about me? What does this unforgettable experience mean for me? You know, I pray that I can embolden you with God's word, because isn't God's word awesome?
Yes.
No, this is the thing. This is the thing that we implore people when we study the Bible with them.
Yeah.
to take it and to consume it on a daily basis. I'm just saying, I know it looks like it too, but I don't miss a meal unless I do it intentionally. And for a lot of us, every day, we're going to make sure that we eat.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to make sure, man, that we at least have a sandwich before we get the day going. We have to daily consume the bread of God.
Amen.
Daily consume the bread of life.
That's right.
It is the mighty word of God. The favor of God can happen for you and can happen through you. The favor of God through you and by you gives birth to things that are unforgettable.
That's right.
You know, when Jesus says that we will do even greater things than he's done, that always trips me up. I'm like, man, how in the world am I going to do greater things than what Jesus did?
Come on.
Well, I can at least start with some basic things.
Yeah.
You know, here's some basic things. Surely we all have the poor among us. Many people have been displaced from shelter and their basic needs and resources. Consider the recent events that have just happened over the weekend. Last night, the devastation in Rolling Fork, Silver City, Amory, Mississippi, where the tornadoes, I mean, a 170-mile path of destruction, 170. There are people in need. There are people who may have been poor and living in homes and surely they have nothing right now. There are people who felt like they probably had plenty, and now they are displaced because tornadoes have come through and they've decimated their homes. They leave in communities in need, and now is the time as a church. When I think about what 10 women did and produced yesterday, I think about the church of this size and what needs this church could meet for people who experienced what they just experienced a couple of days ago.
Right.
Think about what the move of the Holy Spirit does.
Yeah.
Taking good news to the poor. And sometimes, what is good news? Hearing that I have some fresh water coming my way. What is good news? Hearing that I have a meal coming my way from people that I've never met before in my life. What is good news? Hearing that somebody just sponsored me to be able to stay in this particular place or in that particular location so that I can try to help get myself on my feet. That's good news. Somebody who can help me go through the rubble so that I can find my medication that got lost in the storm possibly. That's good news to people.
Yep.
That is the reflection of God's love, the reflection of God's light. And then it makes room for the deeper things of God to happen. Can you imagine what unforgettable experience that would be?
Amen.
For the people who suffered? That is the move of God. That is the reflection of the church. That is doing something unforgettable. Surely there are many people who are in prison where we can create unforgettable experiences. Whether they're incarcerated through the penal system, but sometimes people are just incarcerated in their minds.
That's right.
Their minds are their prison.
That's true.
We can be moved by the Holy Spirit, proclaim good news to them for freedom, for something that is unexpected, that can make an unforgettable moment happen for them. There are people who are blind. When Jesus says, hey, I've come to give sight to the blind, there are people who are blind. And there are people who are blind, not necessarily physically and not even necessarily by choice, but also through unfortunate circumstances.
That's right.
Being moved by the Spirit prompts you to engage in what is uncomfortable to help meet the needs of those. Think about how much patience it takes to help somebody who's blind. Think about what you have to learn in order to help somebody who's blind. And again, I'm speaking literally and I'm also speaking metaphorically.
Yeah.
That is the power of God. That is going in the power of the Holy Spirit, exercising the patience while you yourself are being inconvenienced for the sake of somebody else's advancement.
Right.
Using the enduring word of God to help them to see what they cannot see on their own.
Yeah.
That is doing something that is unforgettable. When I think about other unforgettable times in my life, I think about, you know, in 2013, this is when I was appointed an evangelist and my wife alongside me. And I never thought that as being an appointed an evangelist at that time, and I was still working a full-time job in education, but I just still loved working and serving God. There were other plans that were, you know, that were attempted to be carved out for me, but God said, okay, no, not yet, not yet. But I didn't allow that to discourage me. And eventually, at some point, I would enter into the full-time ministry. And then entering into the full-time ministry, somebody would call and say, hey, would you want to move from Atlanta? Because God had me doing a lot of great things in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And would say, what do you think about moving to Nashville, Tennessee? And I go, I'm not moving to Nashville, Tennessee. I'm not moving to the land of honky tonk. I'm not doing that. But then I went back to God and I said, okay, God, I've made the mistake before of saying what I ain't going to do. What would you have me to do?
Amen.
I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and just like Gideon, I did my fleece test, several of them, and he made it obvious. And so like I shared before, 15 months later, my wife and I, we've been there, and God has been doing immeasurably more than we could even ask or imagine.
That's right.
But it was unexpected, and it was uncomfortable doing so, moving once again. Uncomfortable for our finances, but God has done a thing and he continues to bless. And today, right now, I think even because of that, that led to the opportunity of being able to come here.
Amen.
It led to the opportunity of more fellowship with Sidney Dockery. Yes. And now we're here and we're getting to know and to fellowship with this particular body and this particular ministry.
Praise God.
And to know and to be informed about what my wife and I can continue to pray about on behalf of this church, on behalf of all that you have in heart and mind to do and to accomplish. I hope that moves your heart. And if you're still wondering, what about me? I want you to consider all of these different things that are happening around you that have been pointed out. You know, this is an opportunity of an unforgettable time where the men and women of this church can lean on the Holy Spirit to build bridges with men and women of another church body and initiate dreams and vision for a ministry and mission field of Jackson, Tennessee that goes far beyond Jackson, Mississippi. Yes, not Jackson, Tennessee, Jackson, Mississippi.
Yes.
There's a big difference between Jackson, Tennessee and Jackson, Mississippi. A huge difference. But with Jackson, Mississippi, with what you guys can do,
that's right.
Far beyond where it initially started, far beyond the initial thoughts, this is an unforgettable time and opportunity where the family of God, with this Tri-County Church here in Jackson, Mississippi, can prepare by way of great prayer to enter into places and to enter all types of towns to proclaim the gospel and to plant in the fair lands beyond Madison and Clinton and Pearl and Brandon and even the southern tip of Byram, Mississippi, that you guys could do great things. It makes me think about another scripture in Isaiah when it says this, then all you will be righteous and you will possess the land forever. You are the shoot that I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. And I love this particular verse right here when it says, the least of you will become 1,000. The smallest, a mighty nation. I am the Lord.
Amen.
This is what God Almighty says about you. This is what he says about this church. Now, earlier, y'all clapped for Sidney, but y'all need to clap for yourselves because this is what God thinks about you.
Amen.
Now, I know how some of you think, but I know that you're Because some of you don't really think about yourselves as God thinks about you. What I do appreciate is how you do think about other people, though. So here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. All right? Because this is what I did for myself. This is what reading the Word of God, the reading the Word of God is for us to apply it directly to our lives. We know
that's
this.
That's right.
And so when I read this scripture, I read this prophecy that Jesus read in the synagogue, and Jesus was reading it to the people. He was reading it to the hearers. I took it on myself, and I said, you know what? The Spirit of the Lord is on me.
That's right.
So what I said to myself, I repented. I've been baptized. I come in contact with the blood of Jesus. And I've received the promised Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So you know what? The Spirit is on me and the Spirit is in me. Mm-hmm. And I say, I am Stacy Brown. I am anointed by God. Amen. I am anointed by God. I will proclaim the good news to the poor.
That's right.
God is sending me to proclaim freedom for prisoners.
Amen.
God is sending me to proclaim recovery of sight for the blind. He's sending me, Stacy Brown, to help set the oppressed free. He is sending me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Amen.
Now here's where we apply this also spiritually. Now I want you to look at, just pick at any brother or sister in this room, somebody in this room. Because when Jesus read that, that was for the hearers.
Yes.
You are the hearers.
That's right.
I read this scripture and I said, you know what? Amen, God. Surely you know me and you know all of me. And I accept this and to the best of my ability and relying on you and walking with your Spirit, this is what I'm going to do. But how about look at somebody else? Just pick somebody else to look at. And I want you to say this to them. The Spirit of the Lord is on you. Literally, say it.
The Spirit of the Lord is on you.
The Spirit of the, you are anointed by God. All right, now, next time. You are anointed by God. You are to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. You will proclaim sight for the blind. You will set the oppressed free. You will proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Right? Now, this is what you said to the person perhaps sitting next to you, or you said that to the person sitting behind you. Now, I need you to say it to yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
Because this is God speaking to you.
That's right.
See, God is supposed to speak through you to others, so you're proclaiming that on other people. And these are not your words, mind you.
No.
These are God's words.
Right.
This is good news. This is gospel. Preach the gospel to yourself right now.
Amen.
And tell yourself, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. I am anointed by God. I will proclaim good news to the poor.
You are sending me
to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. You are sending me to proclaim recovery of sight for the blind. You're sending me to set the oppressed free. You're sending me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, I want to encourage you, when you get back home, read this scripture. Read this passage again. And pray through this passage. And proclaim it to yourself the way that God sees you. Proclaim it and call somebody else. Call somebody else in the church and remind them what this is. And tell them the Spirit of the Lord is on you. Perhaps call somebody who's not here. Maybe somebody is working out of town right now and they couldn't be here this Sunday. Call them and share this word with them. Because today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
Amen.
Amen.
Be open to the unexpected because you don't know God's plan.
That's right.
And it may not align with your ideals and it may not align with your thinking. But even when your thinking has godly intent, he may still throw something unexpected at you.
Yeah.
Be open to being uncomfortable because God is about newness and he wants to do a new thing through you.
Right.
Know that doing a new thing through you, he's going to break all of your logic. And that's a good thing. There is no scheme that you can come up with that can outwit his wisdom. Take and accept his wisdom. Have the faith to know that the same old thing that you've been doing may get flipped and turned upside down.
Yep.
But it will be God doing the work. Brothers and sisters, be open to being unexpected. Be open to being uncomfortable.
Yes.
Expect the unforgettable.
Amen.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.